LSG Media presents the Walking Dead Podcast. Welcome back to the Walking Dead Podcast by LSG Media. I'm Dean. I'm joined by Matthew. Tonight, we're going to be talking about episode titled East. And I got to tell you, I'm ready to do this shit tonight. I pounded some cold-pressed coffee. It was delicious. And I got a lot of caffeine in me, and I probably shouldn't because it's 11 o'clock Eastern Standard, and I'm drinking a lot of coffee. So let's just say this. I'm ready to do this. Now, let's really just tell these people what we're going to be doing. Well, we're going to open with some initial impressions. We're going to go scene through scene. We're going to get to a few listener comments. We're going to wrap with our final thoughts. And then we might hang in the chat for a few minutes afterwards and get into some spoilery talk like we did last week because it was popular. People liked it. And I think that's what we're going to do. So, Matthew, I'm coming at you, pal.
Ooh.
I'm coming right at you today. And you're going to tell me, what are your initial impressions? Your initial impressions
of East,
The Walking Dead.
Well, so I think we have... Okay, so we'll get there, especially with Morgan. There are some really cool character moments in this that I really like, and I feel like the show has been missing for a while, and some criminally underused actors and actresses and characters finally getting their heads popped up again. As far as the episode itself, the story, one of the weaker ones. Definitely one of the weaker ones this season. Had its moments, of course. Every Walking Dead episode has some redemptive badass shit here and there, but this is maybe the weakest of this second half of the season for me. It's just, again, we're, you know, I was worried, and we joked last time. My prediction to redeem this episode from last week's episode was that, all right, Carol's doing her long con game again. She's actually a fucking Assassin's Creed traipsing through the woods to go to Negan's place and take him out herself. She's just playing a long, long game. Even though I knew deep down that was not going to happen, I just wanted it to. I really wanted to believe. But yeah, so we continued on with the newfound silly Carol that I'm not a fan of. That's one of my biggest problems with this. But yeah, just a lot of silliness in this episode. Strange decisions again. And a lot of our listeners have been talking about sloppiness. Some serious Sloppy Joe shenanigans going on in a couple of places here. Oh, God, an explosive hernia from Dean, and the show is over, everyone.
Fuck. I feel like Arnold losing compression in my suit on Mars.
Your fucking eyes bugging out.
Like that. My eyes are just popping out because Cohagen won't give me the fucking ear. But
see you at the party, Richter.
I guess. See you at the party, I guess.
Negan. I don't know.
All right. Here's what I want to happen. I'm not joking. I'm not fucking joking with you guys tonight. I told you. No bullshit tonight. Here's what I want to happen. I want Negan to get in the on-deck circle, right? He's batting in the cleanup spot, no doubt. And I want him to line up these soft cantaloupe bodies and their fucking little melon heads. And I want him to just go fucking Gallagher on them. Pwop! Pwop! And I just get rid of them. I fucking hate them all.
So the whole main cast, Rick, yeah. Glenn, Carol, just all of them.
No, I'll spare a few. All right, I might be being a bit hyperbolic. A little bit.
A teensy.
I'm trying to get good radio here, kid. No. Honestly, I want Rick to bend the knee. It's time. It's time for him to bend the knee. It's time for him. Yeah. He's a little cocky. We're going to talk about that.
I was just going to fucking say it was a race to the same word. Cocky.
Little cocky.
Here. Oh, yeah. Cocky, apple-eating, lounging in their fucking afterglow of fucking.
He is, you know, I used to think Rick was the lion. I don't know anymore. I think he's getting a little soft. I think he's getting a little.
See, I would argue that it's an issue of sloppy, but the same result. We're getting the same.
You know
problem.
What's sloppy? I watched a National Geographic show once with night vision cameras. And these hyenas, this is not even a joke, these hyenas kept going at this male lion who had a fresh kill, and he was just trying to eat his kill, okay? He's like, I'm the king of the jungle, I'm going to eat this fucking gazelle, asshole first. That's what I'm going to do. After I break its neck with my huge fucking lion king jaws, right? These He's like, and jackals start closing in on him and picking at him, right? Like, ooh, picking at him. Like, ooh, we're going to go in and kill all your guys while they're sleeping kind of shit. And they're just picking at him. And it was so aggravating to watch these, because I always think, like, if a lion had a human brain, it would kill everything, right? Luckily, it's not super
just
smart.
Killing machine.
It's not super smart.
And just a Nazi lion,
right? It, yeah, essentially. And it would, they'd close in, right? These fucking hyenas would close in. And hyenas are big, not to be trifled with. Normally, unless you're the lion.
There you go.
And it was so aggravating to watch. And then suddenly, the lion turned, bolted, and grabbed one of the hyenas and broke its fucking neck in 1 second, and was carrying it around. And I was like, holy shit. I think that's what's going to happen to Rick.
Yeah. They're pecking around the lion's
feet. Pecking around. They're like, we don't care about no Negan, bitch. We don't care. We're going to just take his food. We're going to kill his guys. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Now, Rick is very overconfident. Yes. Psyche17 says this in the chat. I agree. He's very overconfident, and he's going to pay dearly for that overconfidence. And somebody's cantaloupe head is going to get smushed with Lucille. But can I say something?
Please.
To quote the great late Hound from the Game of Thrones, only a cunt names his sword, right? I mean, your bat's name Lucille, come on. That instantly takes you down a peg. I'm just going to throw that out there. So my initial impressions were the group's really sloppy. Rick's super overconfident. It's really annoying. I still can't abide the way they act. I still can't abide the way they are so fucking careless when they're out there. What do we see? Oh, don't worry, guys. Rick has a knife and Morgan has a stick. And they're in an open field. And, you know, Rosita could kill them both if she was over 30 feet away. Like this, the sloppiness in which they conduct their business outside of the walls of Alexandria still makes me want to smash my fucking head into the table.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it drives me nuts, dude. I kind of felt like there was some wild shit that happened. Moments that were cool, but also made me scratch my head like, dude, what the fuck? I don't know what? This normally would be cool if it wasn't so questionable in terms of its believability, like the Carol shit we're going to get to.
Oh, yeah.
But overall, I don't love this episode very much at all.
Yeah.
There's some real wacky shenanigans with Dwight and his fucking... Is he Storm Shadow from Cobra? Like, slinking around invisible? Is he like Snake Eyes?
He definitely is like American Ninja. Video game character.
He's fucking American Ninja, right? He sneaks up on guys like, I know the fucking ninja arts. You never see me coming. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on, but we got a lot of questions to get through. We might as well just start getting a crack-a-lackin'.
Let's do
it. Tell me about this little open, right? We got teaser. We got Carol's open. Blood, pointy things, rosary, gunshots, credits. They're just kind of teasing us on this. They're like, well. Yeah,
you can hear still Carol actually saying, come out, and the guy being like, I don't want to.
No, I don't, I'm not ready.
I don't want to die yet.
You didn't count to 20.
And then back to her absolutely scorching white hot romance with the plain white rice Tobin.
Right.
Just a fucking heaping spoonful of plain white rice.
I don't want to be a dick, but does he strike you as kind of a silly brain?
A silly brain?
A little bit. He's kind of...
Elaborate.
Yeah.
You fuck.
You know what I mean. He has to go places with groups and a person to watch out for
them. He just strikes me as such a down-home good guy. Like, he's a good guy. I like Tobin as a human being. Like, yeah, he's a good person, but way too boring for fucking Carol. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know. He's kinda,
We all know she needs that Grammy love that only Daryl can give.
He's got a silly... Yeah, but he strikes me... And you know what? With all due respect to Daryl and all the women in here who want his greasy arms wrapped around him... Tobin strikes me as really having, like, you know, I mean, a real yard arm downstairs. He just strikes me as one of those big, dumb oxen men, right? Hunched over shoulders,
see, that's the problem,
giant
though.
Cock.
He just doesn't know how to use that. It. He's too much of a gentle oaf.
He's silly. Yeah, he's got a silly. Horse leg. You call him a gentle oaf and you're going to give me shit for silly brain? You fucker. He is Hodor, Mando. Absolutely.
Oh, that's good.
I guarantee you, though, he's slinging heat. He just strikes me as a heat slinger.
Not enough to keep Carol around, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know what can keep Carol. Carol's a mess. So she's writing, she's crafting her note.
Packing up.
She's sewing a gun into her sleeve, apparently.
Yeah, some real alien resurrection guns popping out of me antics she's got going here.
Yeah, boy.
Which they don't show it very well. It's covered up by the note, but I realize, and it's the only thing that can even make sense because the way she shoots later on. But I think it's like a little Uzi or like Mac-10 she sews in there. It's definitely full auto. That's for damn sure.
What gave you that idea? The sound it made?
The rat-a-tat tatting of 40 shots in 10 seconds.
It sounded like Easy Company was in the tree line.
Yeah. I know we're jumping ahead, but in that scene, I seriously was waiting for like a platoon of people to come out of the forest to her aid.
Yeah.
Like, good God. Did the whole brigade light them up for you?
Fucking Lieutenant Winter steps out. The whole crew, the whole fucking 101st Airborne comes out of the tree line.
How did we get back to Georgia from the Battle of the Bulge?
Man, shouldn't we be knocking the piss out of the Nazis right now? Why are we here?
Boy, that would really be a jump the shark moment for the show.
Time travel. Oh, it makes sense. So she's packing up her bug out bag, which I can respect. You should have a bug out bag ready, guys. Because when the grid goes down and society goes tits up.
This is the Carol I like.
Yeah. You got to have your bug out bag ready. And she looks like she took a lot of sweets, though. I don't know. I saw oatmeal, some fruits. I don't know.
She's got a sweet tooth. She makes cookies, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's the little pleasures in post-apocalyptic life.
But she's leaving a big old puppy dog, despite, you know, being well endowed. He just can't keep her around.
Nope.
He laments at Denise, and he starts to do this, what I call long-term relationship thing she does, and that's she just stops listening.
What are you talking? His absolutely entertaining saltine cracker antics can't fucking entertain her.
Honestly, Tobin, the best thing you should probably just go back out and start swinging a pickaxe, because
there we go.
You're not much of a conversationalist. Get a pickaxe, you know, grab a fucking couple of 2x4s and make a deck, and leave.
Get back to what you're good at.
Yeah.
But what I do really like in this scene, the hovering close up on her face. I mean, again, this is the first moment where, like what I was saying at the top of the show, of like, some really good acting moments. Like, it reminds us how good of an actress Melissa McBride is.
Yes.
I feel like this is another good episode for her face, her emotions. And the same with Lenny James and Morgan. Like, it made me want a hell of a lot more of both of those characters. And I feel like, we'll get there when we get there when it comes to, you know, the duo show of Rick and Morgan later. Really underutilized Morgan for this season, you know. And the preseason buildup, the previews and everything, really made this look like it was going to be the Rick and Morgan face-off in a way.
Yeah.
Like he was going to be a very integral part, you know, them kind of clashing and, you know, still allies but clashing against each other. And I was looking forward to that, and we didn't get a ton of that.
You know what it was? You know what it's like when you're like, oh, shit, fucking Drew, my old college roommate's coming to town. Yeah.
Yeah,
and then you go to the fucking, right? Then you go down to the Hop on Lansdowne Street after a Sox game to meet your buddy Drew. And then you're like, cool, Drew. And after like 15 minutes, you're like, fuck, Drew. God, I do not miss him as much as I thought I did. He sucks. He sucked in college. He still sucks.
A dab of Drew goes a long way.
That's kind of how I feel like they've been treating the whole Morgan. Like, Morgan's coming back. Ooh, he pulls down his fucking mask. He's got a stick. Right? He saves people. He's like, I don't know, Bruce Lee and shit now.
Hell yeah.
Black Lee. And then nothing. They don't do anything with him.
Not much.
It's like they just, I mean, they did the whole, they gave him the episode where he was like, you know, Kwai Che Kane out in the fucking woods with the other guy there.
Eastman.
The Steven Seagal, the post-apocalyptic Steven Seagal.
Exactly.
I don't know. Yeah. He's like anyway. So Carol mentions, she tunes him the fuck out like, wah, 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 like Charlie Brown teachers. And then Carol mentions Tara finding out, where the fuck's Tara? Is she still out somewhere? Where are they?
Still,
are they on a pilgrimage to Mecca?
Well, that was it. You know, right after the big Savior compound invasion, Heath and Tara were going out on that 2-week run. That was like that whole big thing between her and Denise of like, well, we're going to be gone for 2 weeks. I love you. And she said it to her and all that. So yes. They're still gone.
Yes.
2-week long-term run.
Yes, I guess. Sure. They're Heath must there. Be with them and maybe shot by friend Scott. All these people are missing. I don't know where they are.
Scattered.
So yeah. Carol hits the dusty trail before the sun is up. And then we establish the routine of the cards. We got Sasha, Rosita. Carl thumbs a 45 handle. Did you notice the inscription on the handle?
Oh, indeed I did.
What was inscribed?
Fucking baseball bat with barbed wire wrapped around
yeah.
it. That is a savior pistol.
I'm guessing that might be... I guess it's not Negan's pistol, but it is a savior pistol. I mean, so, two things. Somebody borrowed Negan's pistol. Right, which makes
or else they're such a fanboy that they had
exactly.
to carve it into their own.
Yes, that's the only other option. They're like,
and I think that's what it is. I think we're supposed to see them as like having such a cult of personality that you know when Negan shows up, he's their fucking king. You know,
I think you might be right because unless he's bored and he's just inscribing shit on pistols. Unless that's his own currency. I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Some of my men jerk off and some of them carve my bat into stuff. Whatever keeps them happy.
And the real ugly mean ones, they run the weed factory with the guns. So Maggie washes her dirty husband, I guess. And then
steamy showers.
And then she's like washing his fucking cantaloupe head that's going to get crushed. And then...
I still don't think it's going to be Glenn.
She slices a piece off and has it with her oatmeal. Delicious.
Oh, shit. I really like your head with cottage cheese, Glenn.
Take out the... I don't want any seeds. Cut around the seeds. I don't know.
Fuck.
Maggie's back. No back dimples. She's still hot, but I really wanted a couple of nice back dimples. But what did you see those bruises on her back?
I noticed him when he pauses, you know, Glenn pauses when he's like kind of coming down her back and near her hips. I didn't notice the bruises, but I noticed this like hesitation where he's like they're it's almost as if they're talking about something already being wrong.
Yeah, I think I saw some bruises, and I think that's kind of why he paused. You know, I don't know.
There's a right way and a wrong way to do doggy style, Glenn. You're doing something wrong. Yeah.
He's like, maybe if I just suds her up real good and just do a little slippery snake on the back before we...
You're already pregnant. It's fine.
Let's do a little slippery snake across the butt cheeks before we retire to the bedroom. You know how it goes, you fucks. Everyone in the chat's done that before. Don't even pretend you haven't. I've been running around in circles like a baby. Remember that part of the lyric? I've been running around in circles like a baby, and who do they show? Daryl. Yeah, like a baby.
I'm getting on my bike. I'm getting the fuck out of here. I'm Daryl.
So that's what he does.
I'm nothing but emotions.
I'm just an emotional wreck wrapped in greasy arms and bad hair.
I guess.
Yeah, I'm physically tough, but I'm emotionally crippled. I thought I was going to kill all those saviors from my crossbow that gets off one shot per minute.
We get this hyper awkward scene of Sasha coming down from her watch, handing a cute little cigar to her man Abe, and they're all winking and smiling, and fucking Rosita's 8 feet away.
Those two with the grab ass by the ladder. I wanted the fucking ladder to fall on them. I don't know. I'm still not down.
And it's funny. I have nothing against Sasha in this. I'm like, yeah, he came after you. You wanted a piece of ass. I can't blame you. Fine. But God, he's, and you know, there's the scene later on between, one of the scenes from this episode I really liked is the one between Abraham and Rick. Liked that a lot, but I still, I'm never going to forgive him for how he dumped Rosita. He's a motherfucker for that.
Yeah. And what are you going to do? Yeah.
Rosita taking it like a champ, though. She ain't being no whiner.
Royal in the chat, which is Kate, says he's a 15-year-old. Yeah.
I'm not eating my vegetables. I don't want them. Merle used to make me eat beets.
And just storms off like a little bitch. Excuse me. So, yeah, I don't know, man.
Mm-hmm.
So
then what
do
we get to?
Let's talk about Rick and Michonne.
Oh, here we are. Feeding each other apples.
What do you think? What do you call that? I call that murder fruit. Right?
Oh,
that
yes.
is murder, delicious, yummy murder fruit.
I wanted nothing more than for this camera to pan out, and as we pan up further away, we just see just fucking empty cans of whipped cream, chocolate sauce all over the place.
I wanted that, but what I wanted first is I wanted the shot to start panning out and Jesus just weeping in the corner because they're eating the forbidden fruit, right?
I told you not to.
I know, it's a real subtle biblical thing. Like, oh, this is murder fruit. You can't eat the murder fruit or you'll be expunged from paradise, bitch. Oof. And that's what's going to happen. They're going to get expunged. Or at least somebody's going to get their little cantaloupe expunged out of their eye sockets and ears. It's not going to be pretty, guys. Just warning you right now. I guess the apple made Rick real horny. You know, it's funny. You were saying... the way you're describing the apple, like the scene is so funny because, you know, the mics are so close to them. Like the mics are so, you can hear their,
you know, yeah,
that noise. Oh, God. And they're just crushing apples. I just want them to just start rubbing the apple on her face. Like, it's such a weird scene. They're just like,
it
oh,
is.
Yeah,
it's so
that.
Intimate.
And then you see a fucking banana come into the shot and just poke her in the cheek. He's like, come on, eat that banana.
Fucking chocolate dip strawberries.
Come on, girl, eat that banana. I don't know. Yeah.
If only we're an HBO show.
If only they'd have food sex. So anyway, I guess Apple makes them murder horny, and then that's that. Mm-hmm. Jesus came through, though.
That's the big point. And he, you know, his big line of, the world's ours when they come for us. And so this is my, I know some people have been debating about whether Rick believes he's actually killed Negan or if they think they've really wiped out the saviors. I think Denise getting killed, you know, by Dwight and again has reminded them that there are still saviors out there. But I do think that they are still underestimating the force. So they're like, okay, we know they're still out there. People could still come attack us. But I think they think they've cut the head off the snake.
Rick thinks
it's
that.
Just, yeah. And they think that it's just remnants and pieces of the savior still pissed off and trying to get him.
I do like how Michonne says, I don't want to piss off the pregnant lady. That's foreshadowing because they're going to piss. The pregnant lady is going to get pissed off, man. I'm telling you.
Oof. She's not going to be pregnant for much longer.
No,
I don't think so.
Well, you know, that's what happens. So Maggie's worried about an attack. Rick says, we'll end it when they come for us. He says, and I quote, the world is ours, and we know how to take it. And I wrote, oh, Rick, you're fucking adorable. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for your friends to get their cantaloupe heads bashed in.
You have, you know, I got to say, the long trajectory, ever since we started covering this show, boy, you have gone from Rick apologist to Rick critic.
Rick is in the doghouse of me.
Ooh.
He really is. It helps.
You'll come around and put out for him again eventually.
I will. But right now, no sex. I'm eyeing Jeffrey Dean Morgan because he's hot as shit. Ooh, I think he's a great actor, and I think he's going to bring a lot to this show, and I'm looking forward to it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right.
What are you going to do?
So they're putting out their arsenal, getting ready. I'll throw them a bone here because they are sloppy as shit almost everywhere else, but it seems as far as home defense is going, it seems like they've got their shit a little more in order. They're building a new guard tower. They're, you know, even Maggie's talking about hiding guns somewhere, so in case somebody gets in and the armory is lost, they still have a stash of guns they can get to. And there's some there. I'm like, okay, all right, at least you're thinking about defense. But as far as, like you were saying, as far as out being outside of the walls and having your shit locked up, they don't have it at all.
As soon as they cross the threshold, they get silly brains.
It's
as soon as they cross the threshold,
yeah,
they can't get right. I don't know what their problem is. Yeah, but yeah, they're loading up firearms. Maggie seems to be like, okay, we have a problem here. We've got people probably going to attack us. Let's load up some firearms. Let's start placing them around. Put one under the bed, put one in the bathroom, under the toilet. You know, she wants to load them up. I like that.
I like it.
And then that's when Daryl just kind of splits like a giant douche rocket.
Ooh, that's it.
Where are you going? Ow!
I've been looking at my dentist keychain.
I don't want to do my homework, and I'm tired of mom and dad fighting. I'm out of here. I'm going to go smoke weed in the woods and hopefully not get my teen girlfriend pregnant.
I got some hustlers buried out there.
I'm going to go meet up with Bobby Sue, and we're going to have unprotected sex. And I'm going to be a young dad, and we're going to live in a trailer.
Oh, what the world. He could have been a king in our world.
I guess.
Oh, shit.
Glenn, Rosita, and Michonne leave. Glenn says we should keep numbers here.
He's just joshing around.
That drove me crazy. I was like, yeah, you're right, Glenn. You should keep numbers here. The moment she fucking said, Rosita was like, oh, I'm coming too. Then Michonne, hey, you step out. I think the two of you is enough, right? Right?
Yeah, it's fine. Listen, we got Tobin, okay? Tobin's here, guys. Don't worry. When the new overlords come and he submits to them, he'll dig ditches real well for them.
Oh,
he'll
man. Really get to hoisting work. That dick.
Oh, yeah. They'll just keep him in the basement. Like that Rocky Road guy from Goonies. Tied up. Feed Tobin the baby Ruths.
Ouch. We are being so harsh on Tobin.
I hate everyone in this show. Except Father G. That's right, David. Fuck. Father G, that's the only one I don't hate anymore.
Oh, man. Boy, what a turn we've made on him.
How inconsistent can I get? I hate them all. Except Rosita.
Yeah, Michonne should have stayed behind. She knows
Michonne
how to handle
doesn't
her shit.
Piss me off either. She's another one that doesn't make me angry.
No. If anything, I feel bad for her having to go along the ride with all these fucking idiots.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. All right. So,
this is one part of this episode that confused me on my first watch was I, at a glance, thought Daryl was going off after Carol. I thought, everybody had figured it out and he was the first off to go out there. It wasn't until later I was like, oh, he's going out to just go kill Dwight and those guys. He feels bad about it. All right. Okay. Totally missed that. I guess nobody else gives a shit about Carol other than Rick and Morgan.
Hey, bye. Hey, Daryl. Hey, I packed you a lunch, buddy. Here you go. Here's a spare can of gas. Okay. Go ahead. No. I'll open the door.
Your Lunchables and your string cheese. Have a good day.
Yeah, take it easy. Yeah, we're not going to drag fucking half the starting cast all over hell and back to go bring you in because you're having a temper tantrum. Goodbye, bitch. True. See ya.
And it does. And again.
And give me your house key.
We're going to go ahead and put it up on the market.
Yeah, you're done. Your house is up for next time we get together with our little weird cult meetings while we're making fucking tomatoes in Maggie's garden. We're going to go ahead and auction off your house too, Daryl. He probably doesn't live in a house. He probably lives in a goddamn tent next to a house, probably next to in Rick's backyard. After supper every night, him and Michonne just gather a plate of leftovers and they run it out to him like the goddamn neighborhood dog. Hey, just make sure there's no bones in it. We don't want Daryl to choke. That's what happens.
Like their pet walker, like the end of fucking Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah. I hate them all.
There we go.
I hate them all.
And again, the saviors, what do they got? Radios. What a game changer that could be. Somebody just flips on the radio and says, hey, Daryl, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you leaving on your motorcycle? Instead of, oh, let's take all our resources and best fighters and go chase after him.
You don't need radios. You can be like, caw-caw, brr, caw-caw, and make noises like that, you know, and apparently.
Or you can whistle like the fucking saviors. Yeah. Can't wait to get to that shit.
That's true.
Aye. All right. Yeah.
All right. So Tobin shows Rick the note, and then Rick's like, fucking son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Immediately out on the march.
Two things happen to Rick in this episode. One, Carol leaves. Mm-hmm. Two, he learns that Morgan had a goddamn jail cell for his little, prison experiment.
Yeah.
Two major things happened. And nobody in Rick didn't, and Rick was none the wiser. I mean, that's starting to say something about your leadership. Like, people don't want to tell you shit. They just leave.
Yeah.
Like, there's no discussion. There's no, like, I'm building a prison. Yeah. I'm not going to check with Rick because he's not going to be down with it. Like, he's not approachable as a leader.
And not even just that. I think it's even just a laxness where people are like, it'll be fine. We don't got to run it by anybody. Let's just go. Let's fuck it. Let's just go do it.
Okay.
Like, just a fucking community bulletin board, if anything. Damn, put a post-it note up, at least. I'm leaving. Something. Like, some kind of communication. Yeah. They all just go in their own ways.
Yeah. What are they going to do? Are they going to try to convince Carol to come home, or are they going to physically grapple her and drag her home like a child?
I know, yeah. I mean, I have the feeling, you know, it's funny. This is one thing I did kind of like, too, the anti-mission versus how it was when Rick exiled Carol, that this time he's going out there to try and talk her back into coming home kind of thing. Yeah. Like, I kind of like this. I guess that's all he's going to try is just, come on, Carol.
Dude, in the chat, Psyche 17 says, Lady Seldar is gone and the community runs amok. How fucked is that?
That's true.
The glue that held it together was that zombie. Oh, that's so true. That's kind
of we've said it before. Though. Rick is the fucking town sheriff. He's the security guy. He is not the statesman that like keeps people together.
They're gonna find Carol out there and be like, Carol, all right, everybody, up into this goddamn tower in the middle of this field. All right, grab bullhorns and now let's have a conversation. You know, so everyone knows where we are at all times. We
can fire your guns in the air a couple times.
Let's first
make sure walkers are coming.
Yeah, first have a New Year celebration. Southern style, Mississippi style, and then, I don't know. Anyway, Sasha says, Sasha's like, I didn't see nothing. I didn't see nothing. Right? Because she don't want to get fucking hanged for dereliction of duty like Stannis. Oh. She's lucky this ain't Stannis.
Yeah, really.
She'd either be hanged for incompetence or being a spy, so I don't know. She's lucky. Oof. And then Tobin's oh, there's a car missing. Nobody saw headlights. Nobody heard a fucking engine.
All right, so I'm going to go into my Carol apologist mode and try to lay out an explanation for how this could have been done. One detail I did like later on after the whole ambush scene in the road is that we noticed she taped duct tape towels over the rear lights so they would be able to see.
Yeah, that was cool.
That's some cool shit. I like that. Yep. I can imagine Carol. And I can imagine her popping it into neutral, pushing it, getting it going for a little bit before she, you know, starts the engine, gets a little distance.
I'm down.
Something.
I'm down with that.
I'm trying to explain this because I fucking hate it. Because I hate that she's choosing to do this.
By the way, what's with her fucking Fury Road car with the goddamn pikes?
Yeah. Oh, I loved that. Coming over the hill, I was like, this is nice.
Yeah, it looks like she's about to go after the Bullet Town boys for gasoline and fire.
Witness me!
So Rick and Morgan go out together, but don't worry. Rick tells everyone behind just to be ready for a fight just in case.
Yeah, be ready for a fight, all you non-warrior saltine cracker people with melon heads.
Yeah. Hey, with your pretzel bodies in your cantaloupe heads, be ready.
You walking targets.
Good Lord.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no. Be ready.
I like how we started originally.
All right, listen, hold on. Who's out right now? We got Rosita, me, Morgan, Carol. Who else?
Daryl.
Cool. Who else?
Michonne.
All right, cool. Who else, man?
That's it. We don't worry. We got Carl and Tobin at home holding down the fort.
Hold on. I got Carl, Judith, Abraham. You sure you don't want to go? Are you sure you don't want to go, Abraham, Sasha? You too? Fuck. Leave the baby, the pregnant woman having a miscarriage, the fucking 13-year-old hairdresser, and Tobin to defend the wall.
Sasha and Abraham, right? Yeah, right?
Yeah, I guess. Oh. Well, what are you gonna do?
Well, let's get to the scene, the ambush.
Can
scene,
I say one thing
Carol.
Real quick too?
Oh, please.
It's not even something they were talking about. This they're going after people who willingly just left. Like it's not even like quick. We gotta get people that got abducted.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, it's brutal.
People who
I'm
just
glad
left.
That there are grown ups back at Alexandria like Carl and Enid.
To really keep a lock on things.
To really keep an emotional weight in the center of town. Yeah.
Oof.
All right, you want to talk about the Fury Road scene?
Yeah, Mad Carol Fury Road.
So they're driving around. They go by. Guy opens up with his AK, blows out her tires. I see five guys, two of them have long guns, and one has a spear because he's a fucking nitwit.
He's just on walker duty.
And then we see Carol get out of the car, and then she does her whole routine. Talk to me about this.
This is it. This is our new Carol. And I mean, there is some subterfuge to this of her, you know, she lies. She says, I'm Nancy from Montclair. I ain't done nothing to nobody.
I just went to church yesterday and I had a little communion with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I would never hurt a fly.
Y'all want some cookies? But I even like the touch of her wearing the oversized jacket. It makes her look small and weak and, of course, gives her the room to sew a gun in there. Mm-hmm. That's some cool shit, some cool details. I like it all.
I'll take it.
But she's having that hyperventilating anxiety, which, like I was saying in that episode back when they were captured by the what's her name, the women, the other saviors, that hyperventilating and the anxiety, I think, is a little more real than at first glance. And I think her anxiety here is real because she just really doesn't want to kill anymore. This new Carol out of kind of nowhere, I get, like we were saying last episode, I can follow the logic. I can see how they got to this point. I saw the breadcrumbs they were leaving us to make us think that, oh, Carol's, you know, questioning herself, questioning this level of violence, whether, you know, how she is, how she behaves. But I still feel like it's a fast turn for this level of behavior. It's I don't fucking buy that. But, I mean, at the same time, I love this cocky shithead who's talking to her just getting his, because the way he talks is insufferable.
Who, Hero Dreams of Sushi, this guy?
Yes.
Fuck this guy.
Hero.
Fucking Hero Dreams of Sushi. Finally made a good sushi after 35 years. Now his dad loves
him. Right about one thing, Nancy. You ain't going anywhere. Like, just kill him, please. Come on.
They all laugh like hyenas.
Scar will be the king.
So I think that what's happening right here is that I don't know how much, I think she's playing possum when she lies and says she doesn't want to hurt anybody and she shows off her rosary. Like, Carol, they're not vampires, okay? The rosary's not going to drive them into the shadows.
Yeah.
I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might.
It's not going to work here, right?
No.
But when she starts to cry, I think what you just said is that this is the new Carol. This is the, I don't want to murder these people. I'm going to cry now for them. It's like the anime Crying Freeman. You ever seen it? The dude cries when he kicks ass. Crying Freeman. Look it up, bitch.
All right. Not.
All right. Look up Crying Freeman. I'm not even kidding. But yeah, I don't know. It's, I think she really is upset before she gets to the killing. Because that's her new thing. She's feeling all this guilt that's been building up inside of her is coming out now. And yes, I know it's a little unprecedented and it came a little fast and we've been critical of that. And that's fine. I'm still on board with that. But I don't even think she's fake crying here. I think she's really feeling like, I'm going to kill all these poor boys.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think she is.
Or maybe not poor boys, but I'm just going to kill more people than I don't want to.
Yes. And I, you know, it's funny. On my first watch, I was like full blown. Yeah, the scene is cool, the way she takes him out and that and that. But I was still just like, fuck, is this really the Carol we have now? She's going to fucking cry at the idea of violence ever again. What a rush. It's sloppy getting here. Doesn't make sense. But I finally, on second watch, I had one thought, and Maria even pointed it out again here on chat, talking about the fact that she was a battered wife, the fact that she had a lot of this abuse in her history. And I don't think it's the abuse itself that is rearing its head again and making her upset and remorseful. I think when I really, really think about it, I'm like, okay, the way I can buy Carol having this psychological breakdown and really feeling guilty about violence is if she felt like she was becoming too close to the same kind of person that her husband was. If she looks in the mirror and is like, fuck, I have the same level of comfort with violence that my piece of shit abusive husband had. I'm turning into that person. Mm. That is a level of thought where I could see it shaking Carol. Not that, oh, I killed those sweet people. Like, she knows they're bad. She's not stupid. She knows the saviors are assholes. You know, she knows these are bad people in the world. I think at the end of the day, what's changing her is how scared she was by her own comfortability in being that violent. I think that's what's scaring her.
I'm getting buzzed from the production booth. Hold on. Yep. They're telling me some facts. Hold on, Matt. Yep. Okay. Yep. Gotcha. Oh, yeah. The production booth is just in my ear. They just reminded me that she's killed 26 more people than he has. So just going to throw it out there, kid.
All right. Fuck you.
Hold on, they're saying we got to go to commercial.
Bim, 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 bim. Okay, but fuck, I mean.
I know what you're saying. I'm not being a douche. I mean, I am being a douche.
Busted, motherfucker.
No, but I know what you're saying. I know that you're saying that there is, I like it. I like it. I think that there's a lot of, I think.
It's the only way that I can even buy this level of behavior from her, because I still feel like it's that being said, even that whole point there that I tried to make about it, I still think it's too rushed. I still think it's a little sloppy. I think they jumped into this storyline too quickly.
Like
the only way I can buy it.
Yeah, for sure. So it's because they want to do, it's part of the problem is when you have an ensemble cast, one of the things that you have to do is that you have to give some attention to a lot of the different characters, right? If this was called Carol, this TV show is called Carol, you could have spent multiple episodes of this leisure, this coming down off the wall, kind of figurative, I'm speaking figuratively now, this Carol coming down off the wall, this Carol no longer being the wolf, being able to relax, getting into a domestic situation, starting to reflect on the things that she's done, thinking about the children that she shot in the head, thinking about murdering people who were sick. And Rick, how dare you? I'm coming to you, Rick. I'm going to fucking spank you, spank your bottom blue.
Oh, I know what you're ready for. I'm so there.
Oh, God, so stupid. You could have really built it up, but then they're like, but what about Rick? But what about Sasha and Abraham we don't care about? What about Father G? What about, you know? So
they
could have really done it. They could have really done it well. But
it's true. The difficulty of an ensemble cast.
It's the difficulty of an ensemble cast, but they could have written this in a really nice way where it was about Carol and this journey and how as she starts to come down off of this combat high, because one of the things we talked about, these first few episodes was literally a day or even hours, right?
Yeah, very intense. Lots of dying, lots of fighting.
Yeah. We could have seen that development. I'm not saying that the character wouldn't go through something like this, but I can only go off of what the television show gives me. I don't want to imagine everything else that happens. That's not my job. That's the fucking showrunner's job. Show me the story he wants me to know. And to have Carol do a 180 and be like, 18, right? All of a sudden, after she makes a couple of fucking cookies and some dumb kid gets killed who sucked anyway, right? And his shitty family. Have a cookie, bitch.
Oh, fuck.
But anyway.
That's the it is a problem that can be solved with some, you know, more concise, precise dialogue of like, you know, she could have had that conversation with somebody of like, I feel like I'm turning into the same kind of monster my husband was. I don't like how comfortable I am with fucking killing and hurting people. You know, we never really got that from her. And I guess, you know, oh, maybe Carol's too closed off from people to have that conversation. I don't know. That's part of, again, later on with some of the scenes with Rick and Morgan. There have not been enough just one-to-one conversations, you know, in recent episodes, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, can we talk about her Boba Fett shit? Her fucking wrist rocket killing?
Oh, hell yeah.
You know? So, it's the one thing I will say is it had a cool submachine gun sound, but boy, you got a dude with what looks like a carbine of sorts, and then another guy with an AK in the truck. She's got her hands up, and then she brings her hand down, presumably opens fire on these guys and kills them with her shitty submachine gun from far away. Dude, a MAC-10 ain't hitting shit. It's certainly not killing all those guys. She'd be lucky if she hit one of them. Lucky. And these guys, that's why I was like, oh, fucking sick. Daryl's in the tree line with a rifle. I thought that for sure. I thought he's going to kill these guys from a tree line with a rifle. And, you know, we were making dickhead jokes about, you know, 101st Airborne being in the tree line, killing these guys. But that's what
that's about what it would take.
That's about what it would take, dude. It would take a bunch of guys with guns opening up on these guys, not little Carol. And I get it. It's a fucking, everybody calm down. It's a fucking comic book. And I get it. And she kills them all. Whatever. But it was just a little silly. And then,
although,
can we talk about her fucking stabbing the guy, the cantaloupe chest man?
I was about to say, I got all bonered up over that, though. I loved that.
She's like, here, let me lean on this. If she's doing this shit, I want her to be like Vlad Tepish and just fucking jam it in and stick it in the ground.
Lone Star in the chat, Gumby chest.
Gumby chest, yes.
Gumby chest, fuck. That's so good.
Rice paper skin.
It's just like sticking a toothpick through a wheel of cheese, just right out the other side.
Yeah, I was like, wow. So anyway, that ends dreams of sushi. He's done. He brings a knife to a gunfight. Hey, run away, dude. Just run. Run zigzags and shit. I don't know. Well, I guess not.
Serpentine! Serpentine!
It's like when an alligator chases you. Run zigzags. I don't know. That's what they used to tell me in Florida. I think it's a bunch of horse shit.
Oh, fuck.
They're like, an alligator cannot change directions when it runs. I'm like, really? Really?
Are you sure?
A prehistoric
about that?
Killing machine can't change directions when it runs? I don't believe any of this.
David Earl, cantaloupe skulls and avocado chests.
Yeah, exactly. These people are salad.
But I did. I'm not gonna lie. I fucking loved it. Stabbing him. I love that. 3 seconds before we had our new conflicted Carol, you know, walking the bound line of morality, trying to decide where she stands. And the next scene, she is impaling a guy with a fucking Vlad the Impaler spike.
I guess as a warning.
Ouch.
As a warning to the rest of those marauding Turks, stay out of our Christian lands.
Exactly.
You fucks. Jesus Christ.
Takes that guy out. And like we said, Serpentine Boy, you just can't get the nerve to run. He's going to go after her with his knife. And boom, this is the last we see of Carol for the whole episode.
That's it. Bye-bye. We don't know what happened to her, except she killed this guy. Maggie and Enid have a chat. Enid's like, look, I'm going to pick up your shift, you know, right? I'm going to work.
You lazy bitch.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm going to work your shift. And then Morgan and Rick, they're in the car.
Right. I love their nice white fucking Crown Vic or whatever they're in, Oldsmobile.
Yeah, hell yeah. I'm driving. So Morgan and Rick, we have to try. The tire tracks pointed east. We are going east. Morgan tells them that the Savior's compound was west and that it seems like Carol went east. Mm-hmm. And then Rick's like, you don't even know Carol. I was like,
I know her a little.
Kind of a dick wagon thing to say, but then Morgan begs to differ. What I believe, I am not right. There is no right. There's just wrong that doesn't pull you down. Mm. And then Rick's like, it hasn't pulled me down. And Morgan's like, it might, bitch.
Yeah.
It might.
Might come after you like it did Carol.
I'm telling you, when Negan goes Gallagher on Rick's friends, he's going to feel a lot different. When he puts ponchos on them so they don't get brain matter all over them.
You guys are in the front row. Better fucking suit up.
What if...
These are Negan brand ponchos, everyone.
What if Negan has just this big, ridiculous mustache, a striped long sleeve, a fucking beret? He's like, hey, smack, smack.
You all laughed me out of show business in our world. Now I'm getting my revenge.
People paid to go watch me break fruit because they're fucking idiots. Anyway.
I do really like what Morgan says of him making the point of like, you know, that compound you guys, you know, Negan's compound you guys entered is west. She went east. She's not looking for a fight.
No.
I think that's the main point he's trying to drive home with Rick of like, you're trying to rope her back into a fight and she doesn't want to be in one anymore.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think this is the first time, I mean, I guess the first time really anybody's aware. I mean, her running away, she doesn't explain why she's running away other than, I can't kill for anybody anymore, except for when I'm going to be on the fucking Fury Road and have to kill to save my life. But, but you know, she hasn't spoken to anyone, especially not, you know, Saltine Cracker Tobin, about her real guilt and real feelings here. And I think Morgan is the only one clued into her. Like, he's got a read on her that I don't think anybody else does.
I think he has a read on her like nobody else does because he went through it.
Exactly, right? Yeah.
I think he's seeing this sort of change in her that reminds him of the change that he had, and that's what's happening.
Yeah, that's what, you know, they're harping on it later on in some of those scenes of he's like, people can come back, you know, basically saying, I came back, you know, Carol's come back before even.
Yeah, have I complained about how they drove right up on the accident scene, didn't check the trees out,
left the car with the fucking keys in it, I assume?
Yeah, showed up with a pistol and a stick. What the fuck, guys? A pistol and a stick. Woohoo. Yes. Oh, awesome.
Ready to take on the world.
And then who comes out of the trees? Roman. That's the guy's name.
That's right. After, you know, I like when we jumped over the shot where we come back to the scene before Rick and Morgan get there and he just slumps out of the truck. You know, he got shot in the shoulder. And the other guy who, you know, I guess Carol did get a shot in on, maybe got him in the gut or something.
Shoulder blade, upper shoulder.
Well, she got the guy who comes out of the truck in the shoulder blade, but the other guy on the ground, Serpentine Boy.
Oh,
she
got Hero. Hero.
Dreams of Sushi. Got him in the stomach or chest or something. He's like laying there dying. And his friend's just like, let go, man. Just let it go.
Father,
just fucking die.
Tell me I made the good sushi before I go to death.
It must have honor.
Tell me I had a good sushi just the one time.
But yeah, so we get that guy, and he pops back out of the woods again to head down the same trail that Morgan and Rick decide to go after.
Mm, yeah, and they drive directly up to the crash.
Uh-huh.
They pay attention to nothing. Rick stabs Zero in the head, yeah, which he probably could have used. They find one of the dudes is a walker. Morgan takes him out.
That woman is a force of nature. They suck Carol off. Ooh, you like that?
Then Rick, I did like that.
Rick, she's like, ooh, I really like that. And then Rick's like, she could because she had to. Sometimes you have to. Talking about killing. They follow tracks into the tall grass, sticking pistols at the ready.
Yeah.
And then Roman steps out of the trees in a rope because he's way smarter than Rick and Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
You know
Laying
what?
And wait.
If he had a rifle.
Done.
Game over, Ricky boy.
This is true.
God, I wish this is how they should have killed somebody. Right here. Not Morgan, though. I don't want Morgan. I'm not ready for Morgan to die yet.
Me neither.
No, I'm not ready for that. But everybody else can go.
Literally everyone.
Line them up.
Baby, get a baby-sized Gallagher block for Judith, everyone.
Line them up. Fucking batting practice.
Jesus.
Then he steps out of the trees, he grabs a rosary, and he heads off after Rick and Morgan. What an odd choice. You're wounded, dude. Mm-hmm. You've been shot. Get in your car that they left with maybe keys in it.
Maybe. Or at least your truck, which is, you know, got a couple bullet holes in the door, but I'm sure it's probably working.
Yeah, I think they tried to show us some shots of the underbody, like spitting fluids. So
yeah.
We're supposed to believe but maybe their car was fine. But he could have checked.
Yeah.
It would have made me happy if he just walked to the car and went, ah, fuck, or whatever. Ah, hell, whatever they say on this channel. And then he walks.
Exactly.
And then he walks after them. I just don't know what he plans on doing with his knife and his really bad bullet wound.
I know. There was a part of me that's like, okay, maybe he's aware of another Savior's outpost in that direction that they're all heading, and he's going to try and route them there or spy on them for the sake of, you know, scouting shit out.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Something. Some weird plan he's got.
Yeah. Well, he was clever to avoid them bitches in the trees. I can tell you that much. That they decided not to check. They're like, drive directly up to the accident scene and get out.
Leave the car.
Survey the area with your pistols. Can these guys get some field glass? All right. I'm not going to go off on the deep end. I fucking need to
be here for 2 hours.
Hey, get some field glasses. Okay. That's all I'm going to tell you. So Glenn, Rosita, and Michonne find Daryl's bike in where Denise died. Rosita's kind of having a moment. And then she's like, we should let him do this. And I wrote, good call, Rosita. Fuck Daryl. Go home.
But then Glenn, though, has, and I know Glenn's getting on some people's nerves at this point, but he has a great line here of saying, maybe they keep knowing more about us than we know about them.
Mm.
Ding, ding, ding. That's it. That's 100% it. And that's one thing we glossed over in the scene where Carol, you know, gets ambushed. Those guys, they fucking have a read on her car. They're like, oh, we know that place. What? It's 12 miles from here. Alexandria. They have cars like that out front with spikes in them. Yeah, we know where you're from. Like, they have got watch on them.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Oh,
they
yeah.
have all their shit on lock. They're paying attention. And that's the craziest part, you know. How little reconnaissance. And I tried to throw Rick and them a bone when they went for the Savior's compound and infiltrated and killed people. They did do reconnaissance on that compound.
Mm-hmm.
They did, you know, pick out their time pretty decently. However, they didn't do broader reconnaissance to get an idea of, like, is this the full force? Is this all the guys they've got? Is this everybody? Are these all the locations they control? Like, how many vehicles do they have? All this kind of stuff. And they seem to have, I think that's the only reason, I think we're led to believe anyways, that the only reason the Saviors haven't fucking come back hard and attacked already is that they're taking their time and getting a full read on their resources, how many people they have, what are their patrols like, how many guns, cars, all that shit. They know it. They've got it on a list absolutely. Somewhere.
Yeah, they're doing real reconnaissance.
Actual reconnaissance. Actual. And Glenn seems to be the only one to be like, hey, we kind of haven't been doing that. Maybe we shouldn't just fucking prance into the woods and hope for the best.
Right. Yeah, 100%, man. That's you're 100% right about that. And that's the part that has me so fucking confused. Like, why? What the fuck? Shit. All right. What happens next?
Oh, what happens next? Well, they find Mr. fucking Daryl's motorcycle in the bushes, all covered up in leaves, like he likes to do. Because they've figured out which way, you know, I guess Rosita tells them which way Dwight and his men ran after the ambush. And that's the trail that Daryl's trying to pick up.
Right. Well, and there's, doesn't he say, Glenn asks about Daryl like getting himself killed, and Rosita's like, okay, which way did Dwight run? Because they ask her, don't they, there?
Yeah.
So then we show Daryl stalking around in the grass, tracking people, and he's like, I'm going to fire a bolt at Rosita.
Like, I'm going to get all mad. How dare y'all be out here after me?
Yeah.
You should have come out here. Yeah.
Uh-huh. This is our fucking angsty teen boy, Daryl.
Daryl cries about being tied up and having a gun to his head. Boo fucking who? You know?
I guess what it's the whole thing. I think it's funny. He's on the opposite path of Carol at this point. He's like, he feels the worst for being a big old pans who couldn't kill people.
I don't understand. Yeah. They're saying I'm tired of people arguing in the woods. Karen says that in the chat. Yes. Good Lord. That's what I'm saying. They might as well just be screaming at each other. They take all their bullshit out there. They're so divided. They lack leadership. They're a bunch of bumbling idiots. It's brutal.
Yeah. Again, Michonne, you know, Glenn tries to step up and be the voice of reason, saying, hey, we got to figure this out at home. We'll handle this. But Michonne's the real voice of reason, coming in and just being like, look, we'll get these people. That's what Daryl wants to hear. We're going to fucking get these guys. We'll get revenge. Just not right now, like this, marching into the woods.
And his response is, man, I can't.
Man, I can't. I'm out of cigarettes. Man, I can't.
Yeah, Glenn's thinking clear. It's going to go wrong out here. We need to do this at home. Everyone needs you. They need us. Let's go home.
Yeah, let's fucking go home. Regroup, stay safe. We'll get these shits later.
Yeah.
But then Rosita says, he's right. I'm going with him.
What happened, Rosita? Why did you get a silly brain?
Yeah, fucking silly brains up in here.
She got silly brained out because in the beginning of this, she was ready to rock and roll. And then she was like, no, I'm going to go. I'm going to go too. Because Denise died here. And the two of us are going. Okay, when those guys ran away, did they see how many there were?
Still six or seven strong.
What was Daryl's plan? To sneak up on seven guys, get 30 feet away so he can engage with his crossbow, shoot one of them, and then they all go, oh, and then he's dead. Like,
essentially. Ugh. I guess he just, and I think that's the fool, you know, it's almost a suicide mission because I can imagine him just being like, I just want to kill Dwight, fuck it. Like, doesn't even care if he gets killed or gets any other guys.
All right, I'm down with
just
that.
Wants to stick one through his eye, which is still dumb as shit. What a waste.
Yeah. It's ugly.
Ugh.
He's like, I saw Rambo do it. If Stallone could do it, I can do it. He did it with a compound bow. And muscles.
Yeah, I don't got exploding ones, but I can figure it out.
Yeah. Good Lord. I don't know what's going on in this life. So Glenn laments about those men being back to Alexandria, right? He's like, shit, man. What if they're back there now? We figured it out.
Right now?
We figured it all out together. I felt like we did. After everything we did, the world's not how I thought it was. Hilltop Saviors, it's bigger. And this is death talk.
Death talk. And then what happens? They're ambushed by a bunch of Katniss Everdeens.
Yeah.
What the fuck? That was endlessly annoying to me. It's like, they had to whistle three times for each fucking guy, each magician popping out of a tree. What?
Oh, shit. Yeah, and then they all pop out. And,
Can I know one of them had to be like, wait, is that the ambush whistle or is that the we found water whistle? Which one's that? I forgot our whistles, guys. I forgot them. I forgot which whistles we're doing.
Oh, shit. Looks like District 7's in the lead.
Denise gets one through the eye. Oh, a harsh day for District 13.
Oh, damn. Release the poison gas. Give him some food.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, well, fucking Ninja Dwight. I mean, all right. This is not going to bother anyone else except me, but I can't not say it because there might be somebody out there who saw it too.
Uh-oh.
When Dwight is holding his gun at them, his middle finger is on the trigger. Dude.
Yes. so that the end of his index finger could get clipped off when the bolt goes back.
What the fuck?
It was really ridiculous. Yeah. I was like, that is some serious hillbilly way of holding a gun. Like, that is some mountain dumbass shit right there. Serious.
Drove me nuts. So you spotted it too.
I did. I did. On each watch, I was like, "How? Why are you fucking holding it like that?
Stop it."
I knew it too. On second watch, I was like, "This is going to drive Dean nuts."
Drove me nuts. I hope he dies. He's the worst.
Oh, he's gonna.
He's the worst. Back to Morgan and Rick. They find some blood. Morgan. Hey,
it's the Rick and Morgie show. Rick and Morgie, come on. Fucking trampsing through the woods, Rick and Morgie, 100 years, Rick and Morgie.
We just got back from Shabash in the temple. It's Morgie. Oh. I don't know what that means.
Oh, God, that voice hurts to do.
Oh, yeah. You okay, pal? You gonna make it?
I think I'll be all right.
All right, don't get sick again, because fuck.
He's doing Rick and Morty impressions makes me so sick.
Rick tells Morgan because Carol is family. Then Morgan's like, right. She killed 2 of your people, right? Ooh, sins return to haunt us in this scene. Mm. Rick, if it happened to me, I would have killed them myself. I would have thanked her.
Liar!
Oh, liar. My God.
Fucking liar.
Rick, you lost me.
Yeah, that was some, I was like, you are so full of shit. No, you wouldn't. And I mean, this is one of those great character scenes of it when Morgan follows it right up with, yeah, but then you didn't. Like, you made the call then, and it wasn't that. Ugh. God. Ridiculous.
Come on, Rick. I would have thanked her. Hey, Carol, I know Therese is really mad, but seriously, come here. Bring it in. Give me a hug. I'll tell you what. The way not only you killed them quietly, but then burning them was genius up top, girl.
Majestic. Nobody has made me prouder than the way you cut that sleeping woman's throat.
I tell you what, the way you cut that sleeping sick woman's throat, I mean, shit. That was perfect. And you know what? I know it didn't stop any spreading of diseases, and I know you're using fucking monkey math, but hey, you know what? Did you kill David too? Get out of here, you did? Oh, man,
double
extra
high five.
Double high five up top. Bring it in, belly bump. Extra rations for you, girl. And you don't got no tower duty. What do you think about that? And you don't have to clean cell block D. We'll put Glenn on that, right? Oh, he's got them shit. Tiny little Asian fingers. He can get all the nooks and crannies anyway. What the fuck?
Jesus. Yeah. That is such a... And you know, it's totally...
Mando goes, Tyrese says, hey, what y'all talking about? Because, you know, he talks like chef in my brain. Hey, what y'all talking about? Then he gets all kinds of fucking werewolf mad, and he just slams their heads fucking, together.
That roofing hammer and just starts neganing all over them.
He just gets those giant, beautiful black hands around their pencil white necks, just pops their fucking heads off.
Like a fucking champagne cork. Perk.
I love it.
Oh, I miss Tyrese.
I miss Tyrese too. Raise a glass for him.
But fucking, yeah, no, this is, it's totally... Dumb. It's totally Rick knowing what he's saying is full of shit, and he's just battening down the hatches of his current, you know, mindset. He's like, well, that was a good thing. I changed my mind. And it's like, no, dude, you know it was wrong. It was wrong then. It's wrong now. Don't fucking back out of it.
Right. I think you're right. I think he's just talking shit here.
Because the biggest arc of this particular episode, this individual episode, is Rick. Like, he's all, you know, defending Carol at the beginning of this, acting the same way, basically, of like, no mercy. No mercy in this dojo. Fucking kill them all. and fucking by the end, you know, he's having, you know, he sees Morgan's point. He's, I think, in the last shot of Rick in this episode, I think he would even already say, yeah, no, that was a bad call back when Carol did that. That was still a terrible thing.
I tell you what. I tell you what. So anyway, she came back and saved y'all, right? I mean, you know, Morgan, I don't know. Sure, I guess, dude. Do I have the energy for this debate, this philosophical debate right now? Well, we'll save that for the end when he tries to talk shit about this wolf.
Rick and Morgie, 100 years. Fuck.
King me, bitch. So walkers start to file in. They see this dude who's, I'm just looking for my horse.
In my motorcycle armor.
Yeah. Yeah, he's looking for his horse. The walkers start to file in. The dude runs. Rick is going to just shoot the guy. And Morgan's like, no. He's like, well, no.
Fucking Friday the 13th.
Slow mo shit.
Also, that the fake out when they see the you know, the walker that looks like Carol from behind, that got me. And I really had a moment. I was like, oh shit, that would be some ballsy shit, Walking Dead. The last time we see Carol, she's just a walker. I mean, I didn't think they were gonna do that, and I at the end of the day, it's kind of a dumb idea, but damn, that'd be gutsy.
Yeah. Yeah, oh but, yeah, that would have been cool.
But like, no.
It's Carol, no.
Oh, Carol.
Cookies falling out of her purse.
I still love the way you killed those sleeping sick people, Carol.
Why? I would let you kill them all. So they kill some walkers. Morgan's like, we don't know if you know who he was. And Rick's like, well, maybe. Could be. I mean, damn, man.
You got one of them spares. Because that's, you know, they point out, yeah, the Hilltop, had, they have a welder, I guess, been making these nice spears for zombie melon busting for the saviors. So he's like, well, it could have been a savior. Yeah. And then, of course, yeah, fucking Morgan has to point out, like, well, yeah, it could have been a fucking Hilltop person, too. Like, we don't know.
Yeah. Riggs and Murtaugh. In the chat, they're talking.
That's
right,
good.
It is. Crazy fucking off the handle white dude. And then the black dude trying to keep him leveled. Perfect.
Exactly. That is perfect.
I don't know.
Oh, shit.
So anyway, maybe he's one of them. Maybe, I don't know. I don't fucking care. I don't take chances. Rick's basically saying, I'm going to kill him because I don't want to take any chances.
Yeah. He might not be a bad guy or anybody against us at all. If I could kill him, execute him.
It's getting real dicey out there. It's getting real dicey out there outside of these walls. Yeah.
And this is it. This is the confession of Morgan about having the wolf that nobody has told Rick yet. Even Carol, you know, consciously kept it a secret.
Let me tell you something, Rick. We can all change. Come on, dude. You gonna tell me this shit now? This is where Rick finds out about the jailhouse rehab project he didn't know about.
Yep.
And he's like, dude, go home, bro. Just go.
Tells him to go.
Get out.
I like this scene. I'll admit it. It's fucking got some sloppy shit. And another one of our listeners even pointed out that the logic that I get the fucking emotional point that Morgan's trying to make, but the logic of, see, but that wolf was able to save Denise. Like, well, yeah, but she wouldn't have even been kidnapped by the wolf if he weren't there. Now, would she?
Logical fallacies. Boo, 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 doo. With Morgan. Yeah, he doesn't make any sense here.
But he's just trying to spell out the arc of human redemption. People can change. Okay, we get it.
Yeah.
I get it. But fucking, again, this is that scene I was talking about of Lenny James, the actor, is so fucking good. He's great. It was totally a wasted resource in this season.
Mm, yeah. He's like, well, that wolf that I let go killed about 4 or 5 more guys. But that's okay, because he saved Denise after endangering her life by kidnapping her. What? That's like some Stockholm shit.
It's like, what, dude?
You know, when I murdered that person's entire family except them, I really motivated them
to make a better life.
To pursue an education, you know? I mean, you know, you could say, you know, I mean, when Mike Vick murdered all those dogs and eventually got caught and served time, he donated a lot of money to some local shelters after the fact. I mean, you could argue. What the fuck are you talking about, Morgan? Shit.
Oh, it's true.
Anyway. So he basically tells Rick to go home and go to his room and think about what he said here today. And
yeah.
Rick listens.
Get on home.
I like that. I like this part of their relationship.
See, that's the thing. Ugh, it's so wasted because there is no other character. They're the only true day ones. It's Rick and Morgan,
yes.
Main characters of episode one. They have more history than anybody else. They have this kind of understanding. And how many times this season has it just been Rick and Morgan? Like 4 times ever, maybe.
Right.
Wasted. That sucks. They're so good.
Yeah. Abraham and Rick chat because he's back home. And this is, can I tell you something that Mr. Cudlitz does really, really well?
Tell me.
He's very good as an actor at looking for leadership without being obvious about it. He's very much like manly about the way he wants leadership. He asks these kind of questions of Rick to get answers to the same questions he has about himself.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as obvious as like, yo, man, I got this friend, right? He really likes his girl. You know, it's not like that. It's not like you're the friend in this stupid thing. My friend really thinks you're pretty. I mean, you know, what do you
this
think?
This girl's pretty.
I mean, yeah. So, but it, no, he does it a little bit different. He does shit like, hey, are you afraid to let somebody close? And Rick admits that he is. I think I'm that much more ready to tear the world a brand new asshole. You know, they smile, but you can tell the way he looks at Rick that he's just looking for his opinion to kind of get a sense of guidance without really asking. Because we already know he's a shitty communicator.
Absolutely, yeah.
He's the only thing he can do is like rip out like a three sentence inspirational like drill instructor thing. You know,
exactly.
It's harder than a tin roof up on it or something stupid.
I mean, what did he say when he was breaking up with the Rosita? Something about a fucking dingleberry. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
It's all brown or something. Taking her to Browntown.
Something.
I don't know. He might have been talking about something I don't understand. But yeah. And then Rick just smiles. Any second now. Any second, Abraham says. And then Maggie has a miscarriage on her head, and then she has one in her baby box. She has two miscarriages. One involving her hair. And one involving her baby maker.
I just love Enid. Why'd you do it? Why'd you want it so short? So I could join Slater Kinney. Fucking start my own girl band.
Hey,
it's a funny choice.
You got any Melissa Etheridge CDs floating around, Enid? Maybe Indigo Girls? I'll start listening up. I got some tickets to the Lilith Fair, you know.
I want some Edgy Years, Jewel. But I don't, that's the most, okay, so like I was saying, back to back, we've had a really good scene as far as just, you know, two human beings interacting with, you know, Rick and Morgan, and then Rick and Abraham. Really like those, the way that Rick and Morgan parted, even, you know, they have that little joking confession between Rick where he's like, yeah, Michonne really did steal that protein bar, and he kind of smiles, and he asks him, he's like, you're coming back, right? Like, and he, yeah, I'm gonna try, basically.
But
and
if I don't, bitch,
don't come looking, don't come because looking. He's fucking smart. And he's like, don't waste your resources. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. Because
I'm a grown-up.
Exactly.
I'm not a child at school with a tummy ache that you need to pick up.
And these are great. Like, they're connecting. And I really wanted to see this kind of relationship between Rick and Abraham even earlier in the show. I like these kind of more intimate scenes. But then we have the following scene, Enid and Maggie. And then when Enid asks her a really fucking blunt, just plain normal question, she's like, so why'd you do it? Why'd you want to cut your hair? She's like, so I could, like, so there'd be nothing in my way. Like, okay, not speaking weirdly metaphorically, why did you want me to fucking cut? Did you just want to change up in your hair? Like, don't be all weird.
I know.
Why'd you want your hair cut short? You're fucking all figurative and poetic. Like, what are you talking about? Oh, fuck. It was so annoying.
It was super annoying. No, seriously, because I need to be able to see things. Because, you know, I'm pregnant now. I need to be able to see.
Enid's like, see
what exactly? What are you trying to see?
It'd have been so much more like genuine and human and emotional if she was just like, I just wanted to change. I just wanted to feel different. This is a different world we're going to live in, or some little shit. Like, just, oh, change it up. I don't know. That was just such a weird response. I was like, what a nice emotional moment we had in those other scenes, and what a weird one we go to here.
Yeah. I don't know.
Followed by a horrible miscarriage.
Dude, as somebody who's had long hair in their life, dude, it's way easier. Just tie that shit back, son. Jesse left. Jesse Ellis has long hair. He has that shit tied back like the Highlander. Dude, short
Maria
hair
made
so,
a good point.
So much more of a pain in the ass to keep up with. It's not about
exactly.
That. It's she could have said, "Oh, it's fucking hot. It's in. Yeah. You know, it's hot as shit. I'm carrying around
fucking
this,
Virginia in August. It's hot.
I'm carrying around this fucking baby, this silly brain baby that's not going to get out."
Oh, shit.
I don't know. I hate it. I hate it. She cuts her hair. You know what? Here's what's going to happen. When they fucking cut Rick's hair and then Jesse got killed. Now they're going to kill Glenn because they cut Maggie's hair, okay? Boom. You heard it here first, whoa, bitch.
Ouch. I still, you know, I know we're jumping ahead for, well, for hold, predictions. Oh,
hold your horses for post-credit spoiler talk.
Oh, God. Well, anything else you want to see about this haircutting bullshit? She's like, how? Who are you? Right?
Horrible. I mean, I guess, you know, I it's pretty fucking dark to predict a miscarriage. But I kind of saw that coming in a way.
Yes,
I
was like, we saw it coming from a meta sense. We're like, yeah, they're like, not going to have a fucking baby.
It's not
going to
be two babies.
They're not going to have another baby in the fucking apocalypse, carried around. Then they can fucking have a playpen. They put Judith and the other baby in.
They don't got enough Tyreses for all them babies.
Next thing you know, they got a fucking schoolhouse. Come on. Enid should have been like, oh, maybe it wasn't such a good idea to get pregnant in the apocalypse.
Huh, you dumb short-haired bitch, huh?
So stupid. Crazy. You really thought fucking pizza boy fucking genetics was good to have passed into you?
You really wanted a Domino's son? Really? Oh, fuck.
Oh, shit.
Monsters.
Monsters. Look, he came out driving a delivery car.
Wow, he drove a Datsun out of my fucking uterus.
I don't even think they make Datsuns anymore. Well, you know, what? He's half Asian. They're a resourceful group.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Look at that. He's got a soft cantaloupe head just like his daddy.
Just like daddy. Oh, makes him so good in the batting pen. So ridiculous. All right. Oh, God. Shall we move to our cliffhanger in our final scene?
I guess. So Daryl and Rosita are going to sneak up, but no.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Ninja Dwight.
With his one good ear.
Boy, oh boy.
That's it.
Hey,
Glenn,
guys.
Glenn and Michonne trying to warn them, trying to talk through their gags.
They're like, no, why are you sneaking up? What are you going to do? I'm going to try to be calm. I'm going to try to be cool and collected. I'm gripping the mic with both hands. If this is a video podcast, you could see the anger. Okay, listen. You're sneaking into their camp. You don't know what kind of weapons they have. You got a crossbow out. Thank God Rosita's there, because she has that wonderful gun. What are you going to do? Are you going to kill everyone?
God, I know they found a rocket launcher and all. I know it's way too hopeful for me, but I'm just like, fuck, why can't they find a stash of grenades anywhere? That would be the game changer they need. Fucking hand grenades up in this world.
Yeah, if you had your RPG, I'd be like, yeah, bitch.
Fucking get them.
I mean, that wouldn't work either, because you kill your friends, but you know what I mean. Something.
Eh, fuck, Glenn,
stop
whatever.
Stop with the fucking crossbow. Nobody even sees you use your fucking, you know, your wiry white trash. I fucking worked a shovel for most of my life. Arms, anyway. Fuck. Anyway.
But that's it. Our man takes one, takes some lead in the shoulder, I'm assuming.
Yeah. And look.
Something.
This.
I mean, he's definitely okay. They so explicit. Just so that all the fans didn't fucking, like, go and crucify Scott Gimple, they had to add that.
Yes.
He'll be all right.
Yes, they did, dude. They feared the retribution of podcasters like us going,
yes.
Class A fuckery. Because they knew it would have been Class A fuckery. It's still pretty fuckery-ish, right? But not Class A.
Yeah.
And it would have been if they splatted blood everywhere, and then they were like, okay, fade to black. Ooh, is Daryl done? Ooh. And the fucking internet shuts down for a day, and the Twitterverse fucking collapses. People calling.
There had to be a dumpster in the forest. There had to be at least one.
People calling sick, you know? Fucking women don't go to work the next day.
Just weeping, pouring through all the other seasons on Netflix.
Hashtag save Daryl.
Yes. I don't know. Reshoot the next episode so that he's alive.
So he shoots him in the shoulder blade area, splats blood everywhere.
You'll be all right.
End episode.
End episode. Why did he shoot him? I'm gonna tell you guys right now. You know what? I'm gonna save it for post credit. Spoiler.
Oh, okay.
So that's the episode.
That's it.
That's it. Sneaky fucking Dwight Ninja gets behind both of them, puts his gun on him, shoots him in the arm, tells him he'll be okay. Rosita surrenders her gun, and that's that.
Boom.
Yeah.
So now they're all captured. Great fucking great plan, guys. Masterclass execution.
Masterclass. Well, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do some listener comments from the Facebook page, and then we are going to get to our final thoughts. Then we're going to have a little, some spoiler prediction talk at the back end of this. So when the episode ends, we're gonna hit you with music for a few seconds, and then we'll ramp it down. We'll come back. You're not going to get this on the podcast. Sorry, bitch. Unless we release it on the podcast, too. We might.
You can't resist.
We'll see. We want to reward all these good people for coming out, checking us
That's
out.
True.
Very cool. But, all right. Let's cue up some listener comment stuff here. All right. Who do you got, pal?
I'm a little bit of a cheater. I'm going to read one short one and one slightly longer one. So I'll start with my short one from Tori Hunter. Call back to Eastman as Carol goes east to avoid killing, whilst Daryl goes west to kill for revenge. Rick's hubris alongside the group's inability to set up a defensive position is going to cost all that Maggie feared and more. Our group has slaughtered Negan's people at almost every turn with almost zero casualties. Is mercy in order? That is why I picked Tori right there. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I can totally imagine Negan next episode being like, you've killed like 50 of my guys. I've killed one of yours, maybe? Like, fuck, you kind of deserve this. Yeah. Ouch.
Yeah.
All right. Next up do you want to do yours next?
Jesus Christ. We're gonna
stagger? We're going to serpentine? Serpentine!
Can I go? You selfish lover.
I know. Right. I know. It's all me.
I've got Mr. Right. Bucket. He says, sloppy as shit. Bad decision upon bad decision is now apparent that the failings of our merry band have been a setup to illustrate how ill-prepared they are to deal with a much larger, better organized force. Complacency kills. Shit's about to get real. Liked Rick's realization that Morgan may have a point after all, and his reciprocal confession was a classy way to show this. Babloosh.
Love that.
Awesome shit from Mr. Bucket. Love it.
Yes.
All right there, all right. Fucking flock of seagulls. You want to go now?
My turn. Me. My next one, my longer one, from evidently a longtime listener but pretty new commenter, Miss Deborah Dixon.
Yeah, with great name.
What a fucking perfectly appropriate last name. And she said,
except
I like
for the
episode.
Record, I don't want her cantaloupe soft head to be smashed in with a baseball bat. I just want to make that clear.
Let's spare the Dixon family. But she says, I like the episode. I believe Rick has become too confident in his ability to take out the saviors. Somewhat of a narcissist, but I love Rick. I'm all for more scenes with Rick and Michonne. Hashtag Richonne. It's possible the apple eating scene had some biblical reference to it, because there's paradise will be rocked with the entrance of Negan next week. Carol's existential crisis is riveting. She was an abused woman for many years. Grew into a warrior, was exiled by Rick for trying to save the group from the deadly flu, came upon the group by accident, but saved them from the crazy Terminus people. She reluctantly returned to the group with reservations, of course. She killed a child that would have eventually killed her, Tyrese and baby Judith. That woman deserves to be rattled about her choices. She's still a badass in my book. I love this show, and there have been some weak episodes, but all in all, great show.
Nice. Very cool. I'm going to cheat and read another one.
Do it.
So Kate says, seriously, though, what exactly are we supposed to think of the saviors? Are they villains? Are they incompetent? Somewhere in between? I just find it unbelievable. Our group of badasses and trackers are getting easily ambushed over and over by a group that is so useless sometimes that not one of them even gets close to making it out alive, and yet they are shown to be much more organized force than our group. Well, which is it? The saviors keep swinging wildly back and forth between bumbling morons to silent but deadly country ninjas. Jumping out from the trees. Got you, fucker! I editorialized. Consistency, guys, not the plot devices that are whatever kind of antagonist you need in the moment. They just don't seem believable. I think I have to proclaim fuckery. Class A fuckery. Mm. Yeah, man. It's so fucking true. Like, 1 minute, Carol's like killing them with a goddamn Mac 10 upper sleeve. And then the next minute, they're like, what's up, Daryl? God, bushwhacked that son of a bitch. I bushwhacked him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it is true. There is a matter of, like, are we supposed to see them as a fucking, whoa, a force to be reckoned with? They're always organized. They're always ready. Or are they sloppy hillbillies, too? Like, what are we supposed to see them?
I don't know, brother.
It's a little silly.
I just don't know.
Tell us, Dean.
Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Like I said, this is definitely the one of the weakest of at least the second half of the season. Probably one of the weakest of the whole season, really. Which sucks because I really liked some of the personal moments in this episode that we talked about. You know, the camera focusing on more Carol's face, the interactions between Morgan and Rick. I really like these things. I like I was saying already, I beat this horse. But I wish we had a lot more of Rick and Morgan. That's a super interesting dynamic. Karen Lomas pointed out on the Facebook page, I think, that, yeah, there's no other character that interacts with Rick like Morgan. It's so unique. It is a very interesting, specific relationship that has not been explored well enough by his return. And this is like some tantalizing pieces of what could be if they had focused on that a little more. And Scott pointed out in the chat, Scott B., pointed out that this kind of feels like the writers shifting their chess pieces to where they need to be for the finale. And that's the main criticism for me. I agree with Scott there, that it feels like, okay, we got to put some pieces where they got to go. Carol's got to not be here. Morgan's got to not be here. Let's find a way to make them leave. You know, just some of that. There's just a little bit of laziness in there that bugs me, you know, and it makes it sting more because there are some really good moments. But a weaker episode. I think I have the strong feeling, you know, Walking Dead has been very solid about its exits and its introductions. So next week, our fucking exit of the season, and I'm sure it's going to be a big one. I'm sure it'll be good. Looking forward to that. Don't know. I really have the strong feeling, if I'm going to put one prediction out there, and I'm not getting into spoiler talk, but I'm just saying, I'm actually getting the sinking feeling that we are not going to see Carol or Morgan until next season. I think this might be they're going to drift away into next season's timeline.
Agreed.
Yeah. Your final thoughts, sir.
So,
are you there?
Yeah. That was an episode. All right. We're out of here. I don't know. I just don't know. There seems to be a lot of weirdness going around in the Walking Dead land. That's the best way I can describe it. Mm-hmm. The characters are behaving in weird ways. Rick's getting real trigger happy, real overconfident.
Sloppy.
They're all sloppy as shit. They're all chasing around their you know, fucking dickheads who are running around like idiots.
Here's everyone's respective goose chase.
Yeah, exactly. They're going after him. I definitely think you're right about Carol and Morgan. We're not going to see them. Negan's going to show up. He's going to fuck. He's going to fuck people up. And then I don't know what's going to happen. I have a feeling that. Well, I don't know how to say this, but this is definitely a setup. This is like a snoozer before the finale.
Exactly.
It's just a snoozer before the finale. I don't think that's that ludicrous. I mean, I think shows do this. They have snoozers before they have a big thing planned. I mean, a 90-minute episode. There's not much here that I liked, to be honest with you. I don't care about Abraham. Sasha didn't do anything. Rosita and Daryl got caught. And Glenn and Michonne and everybody ran after Daryl like idiots. They all got caught. Rick ran out. Now he's back. Now he's going to have to go out and do something. Maggie, I don't care. I don't know. I'm not sure. I want, gotcha. I don't know, man. I want some kind of shakeup, and I don't mean like you cut your hair. Like, I want a big shakeup.
I need to be able to see into the future as I walk into the valley. What the fuck are you talking about, Maggie? It's a haircut.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that after this wrap. We're going to get into some spoiler talk. Some of my thoughts are really prediction / spoilery base, so I'm gonna hold off on that. But overall, I thought the episode was just kind of meh. It was just kind of meh to me. Daryl's really pissing me off.
He's an emotional man. You leave Daryl alone.
I think Glenn is still being consistently Glenn, and he's trying to be smart, and he's trying to help people. But it's time to fucking, it's time to shake it up a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Pull a Survivor, drop your buffs, do a little tribe swap. Let's get it going.
I agree. It's got, I do think Negan, having a big, intimidating, and complex, and interesting bad is something this show needs. It's about time.
Yeah. You're right, man. I'm not sure, you know, I think the show's really going to benefit from Negan. I know that sounds fucking weird, but I think the show's really going to benefit for a strong actor, somebody who's going to make a big appearance, somebody who's going to be a pain in their ass for season 7. I think that's going to be great. And I'm looking forward to talking about that in a couple of minutes, but I think that's all we got for this week's episode. What do you say? Yeah. Are we done here?
I'm tapped. Tapped out.
Tapped out. All right, we are going to bid you good people adieu, and then we're going to hang out a little bit for some more live chatter with everybody else. So I think that's the end of it. Is that the end of it, Matt?
It is. All right. You're going to be all right.
You're going to be all right. We'll be right back in a couple of seconds. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning into another episode of The Walking Dead podcast by LSG Media. If you like what you heard, remember to share the episode with friends. Get us out there. Get our name out there. Help us out. And you know what? Check out LibertyStreetGeek.net. We got all kinds of podcasts over there. Plenty to listen to. Science fiction, film, Game of Thrones, True Detective, and more. All right. We'll see you next time. That's Jeffrey Dean Morgan's song from Watchmen.
Ah, beautiful.
He's going to be Rick's. He's about to be Rick's boogeyman.
Woo! Indeed.
All right.
Yeah. No. To Nando's point, this is going to be the support group session after the end of next week.
No shit, right?
This is going to be the fucking trauma survivors fucking chat room.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kate. You know, in my prior life, I was a fucking soundtrack designer for films. I wish. So, who's going to get their fucking head bashed in?
Well, we made these predictions last time, too, right? I mean, I still stand by my picks. It's going to be... Well, actually, you know what? I have to alter that, because I don't think Carol's on the chopping block anymore. She's off in fucking Narnia, or wherever the hell she ran to.
Went in the fucking wardrobe. She's hanging out with satyrs and shit.
Yeah, she's chasing a goat man through the fucking snowy wood. So that leaves me. I had originally been like, it's going to be Carol, Daryl, or Maggie. Now I'm thinking Daryl or Maggie. I guess it's just between those two and me. I still don't think it's going to be Glenn. Because that's too easy. It's too easy. All the comic book readers are going to stand up and go, yes, yes, that's right. That's how it was.
It says here in the manuscripts. The manuscripts exactly. Demand the reality.
Now, I'll say, you know, David and Mike, everybody talking in the chat, you guys are saying Michonne. Let me put it this way. That would be the toughest choice and the scariest that would fuck me up, and I would hate it. Oh, I would hate it so much if they wasted Michonne. But as far as an upsetting kill, that would be the top of mine.
I think, here's what I think. I don't think Daryl gets the bat anymore. I think, here's what I think happened. I think the second that Dwight pulled the trigger, he saved fucking Daryl's life. Because Daryl's value is so much lower now that he's wounded. He can't fight. He's not a threat to Negan, and he's not as valuable to the group anymore now that he's been shot. That's what I think. I thought Daryl was going to get cantaloupe head, but I don't think so anymore. Now I think we're back to fucking Glenn.
You still think?
Okay. Yes.
I like your point. I like your point about Daryl. I can imagine, you know, from what I know about comic book Negan and stuff I've gathered, I think, you know, and I forgot who pointed it out in the chat, but that he doesn't even kill women in the comics. That's something he doesn't do. But I can imagine him being like, ah, this guy's fucking wounded. I'm not going to kill him. Like, that, yeah. the already like wounded mewling soldier on the ground. He's not going to execute him.
Yeah, they're asking so in the chat, what if they make Rick choose? Then Rick will pick himself. So that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
Now, there's something fucking menacing about Negan randomly picking somebody, because it shows that he doesn't give a fuck about your stupid group. All he wants is payback. So I think he just eeny, meeny, miny, moes, which I think is what he does in the comic. Literally, eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Ooh.
And he lands on Glenn purely coincidentally, and he just cracks his fucking skull in and shoots his eye out. It's gross. Now,
there you go.
I have a really, really dreadful feeling. Here's what it is. Do you want to know what it is?
Tell me.
My dreadful feeling. Fuck this song. My dreadful feeling is that he brings the bat down on somebody's head. The POV switches to the batted head person. Or we just get a close-up on Rick going, no! Cry raging. And they don't fucking tell us who. Can you imagine the rioting that would ensue if they don't tell you who they kill?
Yeah. And I've wondered that too. That's been a rumor of like, are they going to fucking, we're going to see who he picks and the bat starts swinging, or we just hear it. Or something. And we don't find out until next fucking season.
Dude, podcast canceled, feed closed. Fuck you.
Oh, fuck.
They would do that shit, Nando. You're right. They would fucking totally. They trolled us for Glenn. Oh, those bastards.
I think, especially with all that public talk from why am I forgetting his name? Andrew Lincoln, about how, the last episode, just reading it made me so sick. I think there's going to be a display of violence. I think they have this. I'm going to try and throw them a bone here, even after this season of fuckery.
Right.
That they would have the sense to, we can't dangle the carrot that far away.
I agree. If they do, they're fucking dumb. And I agree with Kate when she says she'd rather them just not kill anybody. Yes. Fuck you. Yeah. You're not going to play games with us.
Yeah. Don't fucking play with us, Walking Dead.
Don't do it. Don't you fucking do it.
They John Snow jobbed us.
John Snow jobbed us. I don't know, man. I kind of feel like they can't. At this point, you can't make that move. You have to show us. You have to show somebody die.
Yeah, they've dicked us too.
And it has to hurt, and you have to cry. And here's what I think. The part of the issue with Game of Thrones, with The Walking Dead, is that people dying is starting to become the shock factor of the show, which is unfortunate, because you want something cool to be the shock. Like, the shock factor of the show for me wouldn't be, oh, they killed somebody. Ooh, whoa, I'm fucking half chubbed, right? The shock factor for me would be if they presented a different new thing. Like, they have to live under Negan's rule for a fucking season. He becomes his big bad. He has all the power. They have to bend the knee. They have to kiss the ring. That would be fucking great. I would love that shit.
I think that
there's nothing that gets me more horned up than a good insurrection rebellion story, to where the group has to figure out a way to take the fight to Negan, and they just can't because he's so fucking powerful.
Yes. Like Battlefield Earth, our favorite. Yes.
Yes, like Battlefield Earth and
Battlefield Earth and Smash Mouth. Original soundtrack by Smash Mouth.
Yeah.
Fuck. Anyways, so I totally agree. I think that would be a great storyline.
People in the chat must know at this point that we're in spoiler territory. So, just to be safe, we are going to talk about spoilers. So be careful if you don't want any. But in the comic, we know Glenn dies.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, and this is something I didn't want to talk about in the regular part of the episode because I didn't want to get too spoilery, but the first thing I thought when Maggie went down is I thought, okay, Maggie goes down, she's having severe pain, is this a miscarriage happening and we cut away and we don't know what's going to happen? Because now, with Denise dead and you have nobody there, you have to go back to Hilltop where there's an OBGYN.
Yeah.
Right?
I was thinking that too, yeah.
So they have an OBGYN. This is his fucking specialty, right? He's a lady parts doctor. Exactly. So your fucking lady parts are on the fritz? Go see this guy. Fucking Enid can throw...
And he talks just like that, a fucking refrigerator repairman.
What do you got, a cooling link here, baby? Huh? Let me smack you on the ass. That'll fix it.
Them labias look like they's on the fritz.
Jesus Christ. Why does it look like a deli in here?
All right. You were making a point there for,
I think,
for a minute.
Sorry. I think Enid throws her in a pickup and drives her to Hilltop.
Yeah.
If she's bleeding out or if she's got a problem, right? I don't know much about that shit. But I'm just saying, if she has if she's having a medical emergency, she needs to go to the fucking place where there's a doctor.
Yeah.
That's it.
Especially specifically an OBGYN doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's, we know they saved a guy who is one. They brought him back to Hilltop. They need to go back there. Now, in the comic, if I'm not mistaken, after Glenn gets his silly brain bashed in, oh, Maggie freaks out and like blames Rick.
Shaves her head for one.
Oh, she pulls a Furiosa?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. So they're jumping the gun if that's what they're going to go for.
Is that one of those, like, you know, man-hating I shave my head moments?
I don't know. I don't know enough about it. I know it's like a grief. I will shave my head.
You know, it's like when you see a girl and she like chops all her hair off and you're like, "Oh, what's going on?" She's like, "Oh, you know, me and my boyfriend, things just didn't work out." I'm like, "Oh, got it."
Feel ya.
That's what I do. Cut my hair off.
Goes full Britney.
I cut my hair off. I buy a fucking magic wand. I get some wine and I call it a day. No. I think she has to go to Hilltop to get medical treatment. But in the comic, I think she goes to Hilltop because she's just done with Rick's bullshit because she blames Rick for this thing with Glenn.
Yeah.
She should be blaming Daryl for this thing. I mean, I know Rick's supposedly the leader, even though people just... Is he, though? Is he the fucking leader? Everyone just runs around willy-nilly and does what they want. They're just like, Daryl's leaving. Then everyone's like, we're going to go after Daryl. Blah, 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 blah. We don't care. And then we're going to build prisons and not tell him. And not tell him about the wolf and not tell him about this. And I don't know. He's just rubbing fucking bananas all over Michonne's face. Eating murder fruit. So I don't know if he's not there.
Yeah.
So... I think in the comic there it forms this splinter in the group where she goes to Hilltop and it creates this splinter thing.
Oh, okay.
You know?
I could see that. That's something we talked about, of like the idea of their groups splitting up in ways that the loyalties just get divided.
Yeah. And yes, Mike, Maggie does come up with a deal to kill saviors for Hilltop. Yes, he's saying that in the chat. Right. So maybe they look to her for leadership because the other guy got his belly stabbed out. Right?
Oh. That's true.
Although he didn't die, did he? Did he die? God, my memory sucks.
I'm fucking trying to remember too.
Can somebody help us out in the chat? Did that fucking creepy southerner die when he got stabbed?
No. Yeah, Maria's right. No.
Yeah, I don't know. I know there's another group. There's going to be another group coming. I know there's more groups. I know this.
The kingdom. That's the next.
The kingdom. Group. Is that the fucking guys who wear walker faces?
No, that's way later.
That's whisperers or some shit. Well, here's what I do know. In the comics, Negan is still alive.
Yes. Yes, he is.
That's badass. Mm-hmm. Okay. Gregory's still alive too. The chat's telling us.
Yeah. Yep.
Gregory. Yeah. I guess we'll see. So I don't know. It's pretty wild. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I think Daryl being wounded saves him from the bat.
I agree. I do think that's the right call there.
Because is the show, and this is all meta thinking, but is the show going to wound Daryl just to bash his brains in after like fake cliffhanger deathing him?
Yeah, it's a little.
How are they going to kill Michonne? Who, you know what? I like Michonne a lot. She's very stoic and awesome. And, you know, she's hanging out with Rick. But she hasn't really arced up and down yet too much. I mean, yeah, she's gone through her little thing and holding the fucking baby like an alien. And you know,
her arc kind of completed in the past. I mean, she still has agency and is changing in other ways. But her overall Michonne from who she was to Michonne who she is now, that arc kind of, you know, finished its trajectory.
Yeah, I'm a moron. Yeah, Maggie made the deal with Gregory after he got stabbed. Of course. Duh. Jesus Christ. I cover so much shit, I can't remember it. So for percentage of who you think goes,
I wonder, who's he asking about? Oh, who dies?
Yeah. Who are we going to give our percentages of likelihood for people?
I'm going to say 75% Glenn at this point.
Damn.
Here's why. See, I was so low. Against Glenn dying originally, but here's what I think is going to happen. I think it's going to be Glenn because...
Pretty much, Scott.
Because right? Because Daryl's wounded. I don't think they're going to kill a wounded guy. Yeah. I mean, are they going to bash Rosita's brains in? Who cares? I mean, are people going to be like, oh, bummer? I don't think
bash
they are.
Eugene, I'm going to be like, cowards.
I think you got to put one of the original five down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's got to be OG original people.
Yeah. I think Glenn gets the bat because I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that what's his name's already wounded. I can see them totally taking Glenn out, especially now that Maggie's got her thing going on. If she's going to go to Hilltop, the only reason she splinters, because Glenn's not going to be like, yeah, let's go to Hilltop together. Like if they're going to pursue that part of the story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know, man. I don't know.
You know, like I was saying, like before this week's episode, I would have been like, no, Daryl, 100%. Daryl's getting it. Like Daryl's, it's going down. It's him or Carol. Carol's gone. Maggie's having a miscarriage. I don't think that's happening. And like you said, and Daryl's been wounded. I don't think that's going to happen. So I'm like, well, shit. There's a part of me that wonders if Morgan is still possibly on the chopping block.
I don't think we're going to see Morgan and Carol again.
Well, yeah, the problem is with that. I just watched next week's preview and Morgan's in it.
Oh, you saw him in the preview?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
So he's in there. So if I had to give percentages, I would say 20-25% for Glenn and then 40-45% for Morgan. Fuck it, I'll still say 40% for Daryl. It's kind of even. I still don't think it's going to be Glenn.
Mm. Yeah.
Watching me be just totally wrong.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm not sure. All I know is that Hilltop has to kind of get involved in some way.
Mando brought up Abe, though. That's another one.
Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham doing the splits.
Not going to be Heath. Splits. Nobody cares. Abraham's a good pick, though.
Abraham's another possibility.
Mm.
I don't. Yeah, Heath. No, everybody be like, oh, Heath, how little we knew ye, literally.
We'll all be like, whoa, they killed a fucking black guy. Crazy.
Wow, ballsy move, Walking Dead.
Wow. Come on.
Come on, Walking Dead. Come on, Kirkman.
You think that's going to bother a bunch of fucking self-hating white liberals who watch your TV show?
Oh, fuck.
Sorry.
You can only turn off. Fuck, I'm done. Fuck.
You puss. You puss.
I got to turn off the Madhouse show. I got to get back to The Walking Dead. It's my only respite.
All right. Here's another reason I think it's going to be Glenn. Ready?
Okay.
I think it's going to be Glenn because I think Glenn has had all of this shit happen to him, and I think his time has ended. Now, everybody in the world, even people who don't think it's going to be everybody, I think every listener at this point knows that Glenn dies by way of baseball bat in the comic. I really do. I think there's a person listening to any podcast or watching the show that doesn't think Glenn's going to die. I think it's in print everywhere. I think everybody that's interested in The Walking Dead knows that Glenn is the fucking guy who dies in the comic book. It's precisely that reason I think they're going to kill Glenn, number one. Number two, I think that the surprise of who dies is not going to be as important as everybody thinks it's going to be. I think the surprise is going to be in the brutality of the kill. I think it doesn't matter that we know who might end up dying.
All right. It's about at this point in the conversation where my Xfinity service decided to shit the bed, allegedly, and boot me off the internet, which is really annoying. Thank God this happened after the show. But the point I was simply trying to make was that I don't think Glenn's death, I think the brutality of the death will outweigh the mystery as to who will die. And I think it seems very apparent to me that so many Walking Dead fans know Glenn dies by way of baseball bat, that they have to do something to spice it up, and that's either kill somebody else, which I don't think they're going to do, or really highlight the brutality, which I think they might do, but I'm not totally positive. So yeah, that was the point I was trying to make before Comcast booted me, allegedly. I don't know if they did. I'm pretty sure they did, because it just went down for 10 minutes and then came back up. So I don't know. Fucking annoying. But anyway, thank you guys for hanging out in the spoiler section and for listening to all of our nonsense shenanigans. And thanks to those people who tuned in live on the East Coast, especially for staying up so late with us. That was awesome and it was a lot of fun. I apologize that right at the end there, our service crapped out. But anyway, you guys have a great day. Enjoy the podcast. We are very excited for next week's 90-minute finale. We'll be back probably at the same exact time again, which is 11 o'clock Eastern Standard on Mixlr. You can find us on Mixlr right in the show notes. We've got hyperlinks in there, so just click on them, and then you can jump in on the conversation like all these other cool people did. All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.